Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. Before today's episode, I have a small ask. John, you don't front load and ask. It's such a turnoff. Okay, first I just want to say then, I really thank you for listening to my podcast. It has given me a sense of purpose, which has been the greatest gift this world has given me since my rebirth. So thank you for that, sincerely. Here's my ask. So Apple did an update and it has affected the subscribership significantly. So my ask is, if you have time, please resubscribe to the Anger Therapist podcast because you might have been unsubscribed. And also, if you have a minute, if you can rate and review, that would mean the world. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy today's episode. Hey, I was just watching on social media this girl doing M&Ms without me with wine glasses and a little machine that records beats. And she's layering beats with like rubber bands and shit and books and hitting objects. And then she uses wine glasses. And it was amazing. And I thought to myself, people are so creative these days. And I just love, it's one of the things I love about social media is everyone's painting. Everyone's, able to show and express gifts. And I'm saying that because if you're listening, I encourage you to do whatever it is that you do. For me, it was blogging as a way to express myself, share revelations, and also as an exercise to stretch, lean toward my fears. Not stretch my fears, but stretch my courage and lean toward my fears by writing something that was honest to me and then just kind of posting it. And of course, being terrified, also wanting to delete, edit, all of that, but then forcing myself to swim so far that I couldn't turn back. And for me, I think it was like, 3,000 blog posts. At that point, you're just like, fuck it. It's out there. I'm just going to keep painting. Or in my case, writing. I also have done the same with my podcast where I don't know where I'm at. Maybe like I'm thinking I'm swimming toward 800 episodes. It's a lot of episodes to delete. And so I care less about deleting them, and I care more about continuing to document and stand on my truth. Anyway, thank you for listening. Today we're going to talk about three ways to elevate your partner and ultimately your relationship. And this topic came to me because I was at the gym, and how sometimes you'll hear something, whether it's from your partner or from someone close to you, or it's something that you've told yourself, and you know it. But for some reason, hearing it again, or maybe in a different way, it just lands, Because I told Vanessa, I said, I was talking to this guy at the gym, and he was saying how in relationships, ultimately, it's like, how can I contribute to this partnership? How can I elevate my partner? And that's basically all that matters, right? I mean, of course, other things matter, but like that's the North Star, is to bring something to the relationship, right? A contribution to one's life instead of trying to take away. And I think a lot of people use love as an excuse because of how they feel to take away. And they're not doing it intentionally. And by taking away, I mean controlling, trying to, make someone that they're not, putting their definitions onto their partner. Possession, all that kind of stuff, jealousy. And those are all just human things. We all struggle with them, myself included. But then it's our responsibility to work through those things so we don't get in the way of elevating our partner and her life. So I came home and I told my partner Vanessa that. She's like, I've been saying that. How come it didn't land when I said that to you? But for some reason, you hearing it at the gym from some random dude has landed for you. And I tried to explain to her, look, don't take it personally. I've also been saying this. It's something that I know, but for some reason, it just hit me. Maybe I just needed to hear it while I was, you know, sweaty. I don't know. And then I thought, okay, well, how do we do that? How do we elevate our partner? How do we support? How do we contribute to the relationship? Of course, without losing our self, our truth, our values, you know, all the things that are important to us. So the tricky thing about a relationship is, how do you give without losing self, right? How do you love someone? How do you connect to someone else while still connected to self? And one, that's really hard to do because we don't know how to do that. We have not learned, because most of us grew up giving a lot and sacrificing self, right? So we got to start pedaling the bike, you know? You got to just start practicing it. And I think in our 20s, we do a lot of loving around people, loving at people, but not a lot of loving with people. Although if you ask a 20-year-old, they would say, yes, I am, because I'm with my partner all the time. And, you know, we have sex every day and we're inseparable and we never fight. Well, that's not loving with your partner. Loving with your partner means to actually give them space. Loving with your partner means to be in your own healthy containers, right? Loving with your partner means to encourage your partner to grow and change, even if it's going to create activation, resistance, and fear in you. A lot of people think that loving with your partner is basically I ditch my life and give everything to this relationship, right? That's with. And I also thought that is not with. That is I don't know what that is. That's losing yourself in someone else, right? So I don't know if that's around. I guess would that be at? If the three choices were with, around, and at, would that be at? Maybe it's loving inside your partner? I don't know. That sounds a little weird. All right. Elevating your partner in the relationship. Number one, you have to create this kind of soil. And this is from my partner, Vanessa. I'm giving her credit. She's so great at giving me credit, and I want to practice giving her more credit for things. That's one way to elevate your partner, is actually give them credit for things they say instead of trying to steal their shit, you know? She talks about being curious as one of the things that is really powerful for her. It's being curious about your partner. Why this is rich soil is because most of us, instead of being curious first, we are judging, we are trying to control, fix, put our shoulds on our partners, right? Especially if what they want doesn't line up with what you want, instead of being curious about why they want that, we will most likely be afraid and try to get them to change their mind, you know, prove them wrong. Right. A lot of times we will use love as leverage to get someone to want the same things we do or think the same way. And listen, a lot of this isn't even intentional. It's just we have not practiced healthy interdependence and allowing people to be themselves. Think about it. When have you practiced that? Maybe after couples counseling and therapy, and you know, maybe now that you've gotten into a place where you understand your patterns and are able to draw some boundaries, and this is my piece and this is your piece, and you're able to sort things out. But before, like, when did you ever practice healthy distance, interdependence, ownership as far as what is yours to own, right? When do we ever practice this? usually after loss, usually after we lose a relationship or someone breaks our heart, or we are in a place where we lose a marriage, we lose custody, I don't know, but we're in a place where we hit some kind of low or rock bottom, and you're forced to look at yourself and your patterns, you know, when you're at that place where you're like, okay, the common denominator is me. What has my contribution been to the plane going down? In all the relationships, maybe I had something to do with it, right? And usually that's when people start looking at themselves. But until then, we don't really practice. We don't get up one morning and just say, hey, what is my piece in this? How can I own it? We usually just kind of react from feelings without looking at where they're coming from and how they're not contributing to the relationship, but they're actually taking away from the relationship, right? So curiosity, going back to curiosity, that is soil. Curiosity allows you to not judge, because you can't be judging and curious at the same time. So I agree with Vanessa in that that's a great way to elevate your partner and the relationship, is always to pull from curiosity. I wonder about where my partner's at, what she is saying, how something makes her feel, and why. And, you know, you can disagree. It's okay to disagree. But be curious instead of judging. And also be curious about your own activation, right? Be curious about what comes up for you if your partner responds, or whether it's behavior, words, energy, whatever. If what you're taking in is activating for you, be curious about not only your partner, but also why it's activating from you, where is that coming from? You know, usually it's a long string to follow, and it, you know, started in childhood, and there's wounds from childhood, because no child enters adulthood unscarred. And so we all have trauma and false beliefs and sensitivity, right? And so exploring and being curious about why that activates you so much, and then deciding, okay, this is my piece. I need to work on this, or work through this, or heal this, because it is what is reacting, not so much the adult version of me, the child part of me. And it doesn't mean that you're immature. We all have different parts of ourselves, right? And when we're activated, we usually pull from the wounded child, right? That's like the best way to describe it, I think, is we have our adult selves, logical and wise and smart and possibly patient. And then we have the child parts of us that when hurt is going to throw a piece at the wall, you know? And part of that is because the child part of you what wasn't loved or heard or supported. And so it's always kind of reacting and raging, you know? As I'm saying that, I'm getting sad. I'm getting sad thinking about all the younger parts of us that was not loved in a healthy way as children. Anyway, so yeah, step one would be curiosity. Curious about your partner, what they are going through, where they're at, why, and also curious about yourself, right? Number two, I would say, and by the way, there's a lot of ways to elevate your partner and relationship. These are just three that I'm coming up with, me and Vanessa. Number two is mine, and it would be to champion one story. This is really important. What I mean by one story is see the entire story of your partner, right? Don't just see, because a lot of us are just responding to what is happening in this moment, what they're saying, how they're reacting, and we're not taking into consideration their entire story. right? So even though we do know info about our partner, we always forget. We just kind of like put it on the shelf. And I think it's important to take a beat and take in their whole story, you know? You know who they are, where they came from. You know how they've changed. You know their struggles. You know their weaknesses. You know them as whole people with a story, as you have a story. And so to take that in and to consider that, it's going to make you a lot more compassionate. I mean, think about this. When you hear about someone who does something terrible, you know, like you hear about someone who bullied a kid or robbed a house or beat someone up. Now, if you just take the action of that, of course, there's going to be judgment, anger, and you want to possibly punish this person. But I'm not saying what they did was okay, whatever it was that they did bad, but if you then peel the curtain back, pull the curtain back and kind of like know their story, right? You know, I work with teenagers for 5 years, and you know this if you listen to my podcast, all in trouble have done, you know, whether they broke the law, they went to prison, well, not in prison, but they're whatever, juvenile hall. Is that what it's called? Juvenile hall. You know, they just did things, right? Run away, break into stores, you know, whatever, got into fights, all do drugs, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you could judge them on that, or you could explore them and their stories, and you could find out what got them to that place. And every single time, they started with a rocky, unsafe environment at home, and one way to cope was to either get into drugs or do something where they were part of where doing this thing gave them membership to a community, whether that was a gang or friends or whatever. And then the pressure of those people now doing bad things and them falling into that. And then suddenly, you know, they're in this rehab. And once you know their story, a lot of them, I mean, tons of trauma, sexual abuse, all this kind of stuff. Then you have so much more compassion. And then you're like, oh, that's why they did this thing. That's why they beat up this kid or, you know, stole this or whatever. It's not because they're a bad person. They were, a lot of them, reacting to their environment, you know. They were just trying to survive. Anyway, my point in sharing that story is that your partner also has a story. I mean, probably maybe not that story, but your partner also has a story, and so do you. And it's considering their story, right? Not only considering their story, their whole story, so you see them as people who have gone somewhere and come back and you understand why they are the way they are, but also championing their new chapter. This is going to elevate them. So not only do I know you and where you've been, I'm also championing where you're going. Fuck, how sexy is that? Hey, cut and paste that to your conversation tonight at dinner with your partner. I bet you you'll get some action. Not only do I know you today and where you've been, but I am championing where you're going. You know, the other thing is that someone's story is greater than them. And so you're saying that not only do I believe in you, but I'm putting you and your story above us. Does that make sense? I'm putting you and your story and what you want for yourself in this life above my needs. Many can say that, not many can execute that. That's really hard to do, is to put action behind those words. You know, above my needs, I want you to thrive. If you going wherever you want to go means that you can't be with me, I'm okay with it. Now, it doesn't mean that's going to happen. I'm just saying that that's what you're holding up. That's what you know. That's the elevation, is saying that me loving you is there's no promise to it, and it's a gift, and I don't want to take it for granted. And if by me championing your story, it means that we can't be together, I would rather champion your story than be the, you know, the shackle around your ankle holding you down because I'm dependent on you or because I'm scared to be alone. All right, finally, number three, I'm going to say, I'm thinking, because there's so many, right? I'm trying to think of the best, or what I feel is one of the pistons of an engine, right? If it was a three piston engine, which I don't know if it exists. The third one I'm going to say is you know what? It's really simple. It's how can I make your day better? That's elevating your, and because I'm going to bring it back to something just kind of like in the mundane and day to day. My business partner Noelle, she says this. She's really all about positive psychology. And years ago, she said it to me, but she also says it to her partner. In the morning, she says, "How can I make your day better?" And I remember when I first heard about this, I was like, who the fuck says that to their partner? I mean, I don't. I wish I did. It's not a natural thing. We wake up and we say, hey, here's how you can make my day better. Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do that? You know, here's what you forgot to do. Rarely do we wake up and say, hey, how can I make your day better? And it's so powerful. It's powerful because, well, A, you're not making it about you, but B, I mean, there's so many things happening in that question. How can I make your day better? You're thinking about your partner. You're not making it about you. You're elevating them. You're making them a priority. You're also giving them a chance, because most people are not used to saying, hey, here's what I would like, or here's what I need, right? You're also giving them a chance to say, you're giving them a chance to connect to themselves. So you're giving them a chance to say, you know what I would like? Can you give me this? Can you give me space? Can you give me lunch? Can you give me sex? Can you give me whatever it is that they need for their day to be better? Can you help me with this? Can you watch the kids for an hour? Like whatever it is, you're giving them an opportunity to ask for something, because most of us, we have not exercised that muscle. So you're also giving them the gift of practicing that, right? Which is going to connect them to themselves more. Their relationship with themselves is going to improve. So there's a lot happening in that question. How can I make your day better? So those are my three tips. Some are macro, some are micro. They're also a reminder, a note to self, because I definitely do not practice these as much as I should. And I hope that it is important for you to first define relationships as not something that you're going to get something out of, right? I mean, of course, we want to be with someone because we're getting things out of the relationship, like company and intimacy. And, you know, date nights and, you know, companionship. But that shouldn't be the focus. I think the focus is I'm going to invest in you, you know, whether it doesn't matter what kind of relationship, friendship, intimate relationship, whatever. It doesn't matter what relationship model you're following, open, poly, monogamy. I'm going to invest in you as a person. I want the best for you. I want to elevate you and our relationship, right? And here, I just told you three of the ways. I'm sure there's many, many ways, but three of the ways I think you can start practicing that. Anyway, thank you for listening. Just some housekeeping. May 24th, I don't know when this episode's going to come out, is a special edition Miserable Fucks retreat. If you don't know, I've been running local retreats here in California. It's one of my favorite things to do. It's like house church. I've had 33, I've had 8, you know, 12 is around the amount, sitting in my living room. There's something about me doing this in my house in Idlewild that just makes it very intimate and personal. And so instead of renting a resort or something, I do it in my home, our home. So 12, 15, 16 people in the living room. My chef, amazing rock star chef. By the way, I only work with people who I think are amazing. Rock star chef, making every meal from scratch, making bread from scratch, making everything from scratch. So you got her in the kitchen. You could literally see her and smell the food as we're processing. And then my coaches, all my coaches, breath work, ice, adventure, all, and of course me too. But this retreat, we're going to focus on the somatic. We're going to focus on your nervous system. And so I have one of the best coming, Sarah Baldwin, who's a somatic practitioner, and she's been on my podcast. She's also a friend, and she's going to give you tons of education. You're going to learn so much about the importance of your nervous system and also how to regulate it, how your nervous system affects your choices, your relationships, how you show up, how you track. It's on and on. It's going to be an action-packed weekend. I hesitate to say action because we're finding peace and calming down and being grounded. But you know what I mean by action, right? It's jam-packed. So check that out at tatretreats.com. And I will see you in the woods. Thank you for listening. Be well.